This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Every Wednesday morning during the school year, an intimate yet sometimes large gathering takes place at a home in South St. Louis where up to 35 people convene for breakfast. In December, I joined one of their gatherings alongside producer Emily Woodbury to find out more about Grandma Peggy's Breakfast Club.
We have to fry some eggs because not everybody likes scrambled.
Peggy Winkowski wakes up at 4:30 a.m. to start cooking in the home she's lived in for 47 years.
I said if you get an eggshell into your egg, you scoop it out with the eggshell, it's like a magnet. Don't use your finger because it just floats around.
She's getting ready to host students for breakfast before they head to Bishop DeBerg High School. Wednesdays are late arrival days for the students, but these teens forego sleeping in to come here. Peggy tries to have a new menu each week, and it's quite the spread today.
We have probably 12 pounds of bacon. I have 10 pounds of chicken, fried chicken that I've already fried. I'm just going to heat up in the oven with biscuits. And we have a cinnamon roll casserole. We have another casserole in here. I make it all with love.
It all started on a Wednesday in October 2021 with Peggy's grandsons and seven of their friends.
Yeah, that we had juniors and seniors and sophomores that all came. Freshmen, sophomores, and juniors that came for Breakfast Club. And there was the original nine. And then after they left the first day, they're all like, "But Grandma Peggy, what's next week?" And we had it every Wednesday.
The casual breakfast turned into a regular gathering, and it became particularly special after the loss of Peggy's grandson, Sam Crow, who was killed in a vehicle crash in 2022 at age 15.
I lost Sam, but I got all these extra kids that love me. And call me Grandma Peggy. Yeah, so on the day that they all made their soccer division, they all won their soccer division team. And I'm like, we're sitting in the stand, I'm their biggest fan. And I said, well, one of their biggest fans, everybody is the fan at DeBerg. I'm telling you what, they went from winning no games to being into second place of state. But when they were all running off the field, I'm like, oh, they're going to go get their pictures taken. They ran to the stands to sing happy birthday to Grandma Peggy. It was priceless. I said, I don't know. It's just that they want to come every day to come and eat breakfast when they could sleep in. I will feed them until the day they don't want to come anymore. You know, there's no promises, but I'll probably still be kicking when I'm 90 making breakfast. Because it's my job. It's my fun job.
Peggy was close with her grandson, Sam. They shared a history of eating breakfast together over the years.
His dad would work at 4:30 in the morning, and then he would drop my Sam off here, and then he would get ready. I'd feed him breakfast. He'd get his school stuff, and then he would go to school with his cousins two doors down, and then his dad could go to work, and his mom could go to work, and nobody had to worry about him. And that was fine. It was wonderful. But then I'm like, do you have to bring him at 4:30 in the morning? You keep him all night until it's time for him to go to bed and then bring him here and then I'll just get him up at 7? So then Sam started to spend the night here and it's just got to be like, I mean, I got so used to him being here. Can you run my trash out in the morning before I take you to school? And worked out well for everybody. It was a win-win. But I think I miss that so much.
There are remembrances of Sam throughout the house, a memorial garden on the front lawn, photos of him on the walls, and in the kitchen, an apron that reads Grandma Peggy's Breakfast Club in memory of Sam.
My cousin bought me this for my Christmas present, and she put Sam on there. And my boy, 15 and a legacy, he's got a basketball tournament named after him at St. Stephen's Grade School. It used to be called the Hoops for Christmas, and they would practice. The eighth graders, all the eighth grade teams around the city would play basketball tournaments. Well, now they named it Sam Crow's Basketball Tournament. I'm like, and then they retired his number 6 jersey, and now we have a scholarship at Bishop DeBerg for Sam. $1,000 for one girl and $1,000 for one boy, which doesn't seem like a lot of money, but it's a month rent free. You know, it's a 1 month free of tuition, so it's a start. But you know what? I'm going to get him to have an endowment. That's my next journey.
Around 7 a.m., students begin to filter in.
I'm like, come on, boys, good morning. How are you? Welcome to our Breakfast Club.
Jeremy Rader is a junior at DeBerg High School. He was one of Sam's friends.
Grandma, she's basically just our built-in grandma, so.
When you say built-in grandma, what do you mean by that?
She just cares for us like she is our real grandma, and so that's what we all call her. We call her our grandma, uh-huh. So I mean, simple
and
as that.
Do you have grandmas?
Yeah. I have two grandmas, so, and they're both in my life. It's not like they're not, but it's, she's a third grandma, and I see her with my friends all the time, so she's like all of our grandmas together. That's what brings us, you know, as a family.
Maya Dozier was friends with Sam since their freshman year. She started coming to Peggy's house after Sam passed. She doesn't get to see her own grandma often, so she cherishes the Wednesday breakfasts at Peggy's house.
And it's a sense of community, especially if you don't feel like you belong anywhere. Like, you belong here no matter what. Random people come sometimes. And it's just, like, a great sense of community. We all care for each other and all went through a rough patch together. So, essentially, it's just, like, kind of a support group for each other. And it just kind of keeps Sam's memory alive.
Sam's friend Corey Mackey was one of the original Breakfast Club members.
I mean, I think friendship helps, like, being able to move on or whatever you have to do to get your sorrow. I can't think of the word right now. But I think the kids that did know him and the people that did know him, it's something to relate to each other, and it's something that we can always, like, if you need someone, you know that you've went through something, and that builds stronger connections, and It's something you can't really experience unless you experience it, you know?
Peggy and the students have a text group where they stay in touch throughout the week and plan dishes for their next get-together.
Well, what we really need to get is a text screen to say who's coming, because sometimes I never know if there's 11 or if there's 30. I never want to run out of food, and we never would. I mean, I'd sit here and make some more pancakes, or I'd sit here and make some more French toast. I would just keep cooking until they were done. Nobody's going to leave here hungry, and everybody's going to leave here happy, hopefully.
Set up an open table.
It is an open table. It's an open table, and then when they all leave, because, you know, we like real plates. We don't use paper plates here. So when they get done, this whole counter will full of dishes, and we have one dishwasher. And Grandma, they're like, Grandma, you want us to help you? I'm like, no, of course not. I want you to visit. I want you to talk. There's plenty of time for dishes. They will wait. They'll wait. I said, the most important is to have fun with them and to listen to what they say and how they talk. And, you know, and they're just like, you know, they can always come here. It will be a safe house. I mean, if they ever needed to get somebody and they want to, they're maybe don't want to talk to their mom or their dad, but they can call me. Don't get me wrong. I will call their mom and dad and tell them, hey, he's here. He's safe. I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. I just want them to know if they're busy and they need somebody, I will take care of it. You know, that's what grandmas do.
Peggy takes care of much more than the dishes. After she says goodbye to the students and gets done cleaning up from breakfast, she starts caretaking for her husband, who lives with Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's.
You know, by the time you get him into the shower, get him his breakfast, get him his dress, and then sometimes you have to get him dressed again, you know, and then it's like, ooh, it's a lot. I mean, hopefully he can continue to take care of him for a long time, and I think that when he can't start getting out of bed anymore, then I might have to go to plan B, but I don't know. Just one day at a time. I can't be worried about that. I got to worry about today because we know tomorrow doesn't come sometimes. You know what? Every day when I think that I'm feeling sad, I get a sign. I believe in the science, and I believe that, but like these kids, they would do anything for me and the world. I mean, they're like, Grandma, can we come clean your house? You know, I mean, what can we do for you? I mean, these kids are like no other. They have so much love and so much respect, and they're all so polite and so kind, and this is the future we want. You know, we want these kids to be our future, and I want more kids to be like them, but they can't if they don't have a Grandma Peggy. Our good parents are good schooling. You know, some people just, you know, push them through, and they don't get what they get here and what they give me. I mean, it goes both ways. You give love, you get love. You know, but people are taught to hate. Everybody's born with love, but you have to continue that. You know, I mean, I think that they know that I love them here.
As we talk, several of the teens begin slow dancing to La Vie en Rose in Peggy's living room.
They're the best kids ever. I mean, they are old souls. Do you know? They're just, oh, look at their dancing. Grandma Peggy can teach you all how to dance. I'm quite the dancer, you know. That's a little swing dance. Now over your arms. There you go.
Peggy hopes the story of their Wednesday Breakfast Club inspires others to do something similar.
Do you know, and I think there should be a movement, you know, maybe an international, national movement of let's have breakfast on Wednesdays to get over the hump. I don't care if it's just a cup of coffee with your friend, but let's talk about what you did last week and let's talk about some good things coming up. Let's don't talk about what's going on in the world today because this has been going on in our world forever. We just didn't know about it so much, do you know? I mean, I don't really know, but I think that this was a terrible story that we tried to turn happy. You know, and it is happy. We have tears of joy and tears of sadness, and I will get up at 4:30 in the morning as long as they will come and eat.
With Sam's friends heading into their senior year in the fall, and with Peggy's granddaughter attending high school in a few years, Peggy may very well have many more early mornings to come.
This episode was produced and edited by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Foyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.